Welcome to the Silly with the Lilligans. With me is Brad, because this is Mitch.
Hello.
I just wanted to throw you off because you're taking a drink.
I knew it was going to happen as soon as I started to take a drink.
Dumbass.
Guess who else is with us?
Jesus.
Close.
Well, Jesus. Jesus is always with us, but I'm talking about our friend, Mr. Matt Bird.
Hey, Bird.
Morning.
He's
morning.
It's somewhat.
He's back.
By popular demand.
Much love for Matt Bird last time, so I think he's going to become a fairly regular member.
I like it.
And it lets.
So couldn't you get Dave lunch tonight?
I just think it leaves the door open for when we quit. We can just leave it all in Bird's lap, and when people ask where's the podcast, talk to Bird.
Yeah, I can't see thousands of dollars worth of hardware being bought for this.
Oh, we stole all this.
Where do you think all that scarf money went?
Sell a few scarves, you can do anything.
Well, speaking of scarves, we have shirts coming.
We do have some shirts coming. We're still in the finalization of the design process. We're down to, I think, the final three. And we'll be making that decision soon. And when we do, we will post it on Facebook and Twitter and let you guys know where you can buy the shirts. So
I really like the designs. I think these are some of our best ones so far.
Yeah, no matter which one wins, it's going to be popular. And then the two that don't win, we'll probably also do on Cafe Press. Just, you know.
Everybody wins.
Right. So, yeah.
I'm good with it. And more shirts, the better.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, stuff to wear to games. And
wear all the time.
And wear all the time.
Formal events.
Right, and we will once again tease that this shirt is going to have something special. Don't want to give it away yet, but if you're a beer drinker and you like drinking beer, see how that goes together.
Wow.
This shirt will be handy.
Handy. So it's got built-in beer holsters?
Something like that.
That would be awesome.
Something like
that. I'd like a bandolero, like Chewbacca of beers.
Now you're getting too close.
I got nothing. I really don't. I was like, I could come up with something clever, but I'm not going to be clever.
You were going down a dead end.
Yeah. I was like,
Let's just say our friends at the Free Beer Movement will probably endorse this shirt.
Well, they'd endorse it anyway because we're awesome.
And we'll probably send him one free of charge because that's how we are.
Because we're going to steal it.
We'll charge everybody else $5 more. We'll make up for it.
Got to make my car payment this month.
That's right. So we will be having a new shirt this year. No new scarves this year, but new shirts this year. And we will probably get those out to people at the preseason party.
Scarves would probably be like a good thing to do in like 2015.
I think 2015 will be a good year for a new scarf.
I think so.
So we're going to have a preseason party this year where you can pick up your season tickets if you've bought them. And if you haven't bought them, there will be an opportunity for you to buy them there. But I'm saying go ahead and go do it now.
I really think they should do it now. This is one of those things that we really need to do to make sure the investors, if there was going to be a team named the Chupacabras showing up, just hypothetically, if we had a team named Chupacabras,
right,
and they wanted to see how supportive we were of soccer in the area, they would say, well, how many season tickets are you selling, Mr. Glavin? And right now he would say, meh.
Right.
Meh.
Meh.
We need to sell more.
It's $60. Come on, people.
It's really, I mean, yeah. I mean,
Mepper with his first awesome contribution yelling at everybody.
So, now somebody mentioned the other day, it's the price of one St. Louis Blues game. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, and not only that, but it's, okay, so what's a game day ticket now? $10? Is that what I think he's?
Yes.
There's 8 games plus the friendly against the Ambush.
At least
and
two
a couple other ones.
Yeah.
But even just at eight games, it's $80.
And that includes parking. Parking is extra, too, if you don't have your season pass.
So. There you go. So, and this is the amount that we were wanting last year to be as well.
Right.
So part of this is saying, hey, guess what? We're where we need to be. Let's be cooperative.
Right.
And, you know, people were saying, well, I'm not going to go to that many games. It's not about going to the games. It's about supporting the soccer.
And if you're not going to go to that many games, buy a season ticket, and when you're not going, give it to someone else and get them hooked and get them into it.
Yeah.
You know, pass it on.
And this is also, let's not forget, this is practice for next year. You want to get to know everybody. You want to get to be a Lilligan for the bigger and better things that are to come. You'll already be in the mold, in the in the
group. And that's going to be the other thing too, is that if you're complaining about $60 today, then you're pretty much not going to be able to afford a USL Pro season ticket.
You're right.
I mean, well, let's be honest. USL Pro is not going to be $60. This is still a bargain.
The supporter group for USL Pro is usually in that 200 to 50 to 300 range.
Yeah. So, I mean,
There's more games, but.
But it's still more money.
Right.
That's more than a Bayern Munich season ticket.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's the point. You know, it's like this is all practice round. This is training for the big time. We want to be big time. We have to show the small time that we're decent.
Well, and I mean, the other thing is it's just good fun. I mean, Bird started coming out last year, and we have a great time. You know, just getting together, get to know everybody, and, you know, you guys have all become my friends.
Well,
I got rid of all my other friends.
We've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Oh.
Sorry, bro.
Did I burn the bridges too soon?
to be honest, it's easy for me because it's around the corner. I mean, you guys put in some serious mileage.
Well, yeah, but you made treks out to Piasaw. That's not easy trip for you. I mean, it's just worth it to get together with your friends and have some fun.
And that's what it is. It doesn't really matter the standard of the football on the field.
Right.
It's nice, but
you know, at the end of the day, like back in the old country, people still go and watch Rochdale and Oldham Athletic when they've got Manchester City and Manchester.
He's talking
United
about Mexico, right?
Yeah.
That accent is Mexican, right?
Well, yeah, there is something about, you know, embracing your local team and, you know, even if they suck.
That's kind of the thing that's always killed me about the, you know, we use the phrase Euro snobs. PDL is beneath me. Well, no, because like you said, you know, guys are still going out to Wrexham and, you know, you know, all the anything that has like 8 different letters that don't go well together, those little small, you know, villages and stuff. It's like they still have the dedicated fans. And that's probably more European than Manchester United is right now.
I would hazard a guess that more people go and watch lower league football than they do the Premier League, if you take the actual amount of people.
The volume. Yeah, no, you're probably not too far off there. I mean, just the volume and frequency. This is our, you know, lower league. We got to do what we got to do.
And I did make the point a couple of weeks ago that be careful what you wish for, in the fact that if you want an MLS team here, what you're going to get with that, though, is less access to the players, the coaches.
Right.
You know, you're going to get all the hassle that comes with having a really high-end product here. So.
I mean, that's definitely true. And, I mean, we enjoy, you know, talking to the players. I mean, talking to the GM. I mean, walk up and shake the head coach's hand after every game.
And the owner's hand.
And the owner. you know, you're not going to do that at your bigger league. So, I mean, it's a day out with your friends, which is fun. It's a local get-together, and it's soccer.
And it's economical, really.
And it's beer.
I mean, it's cheaper than going to a Cardinals game. It's cheaper than going to a Blues game.
Right.
Cheaper than going to the movies. You know, took the kids to the Lego movie the other night, and that was
fortune. $60 right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Popcorn and Coke.
Right.
Exactly. You know, there's plenty of things that you're spending your money on. If you go out to eat at a nice dinner, you know, Local Harvest or something like that, you're going to spend $60.
And I know people are going to, more people will buy in at a higher level. I understand that.
But there's enough people around right now that say they want to be a part of it. They need to buy in now.
Well, or at least come to a couple of games. At least, you know, maybe you're not ready to shell out $60 for season ticket, which sounds ridiculous, but maybe you're not. At least come to a couple of games. You know, get to know us, get to know the group, and I guarantee it'll make it better moving forward, because you'll be on the inside a little bit. You'll know the characters, and by the characters, I mean people like us. Well, you know, I mean,
the cast of character, that networking is important.
And it's something I'm going to come to later. You know, the inside jokes, they're all part of it. And if you know what we're talking about when we make fun of Greg, or if you know what we're talking about when we, you know, say Steve supports 10 different teams. I mean, you know, these are inside jokes that we all have fun with. You want to be in on that. You want to know what's going on. It makes being a part of the group better.
Well, Minnesota United has the Dark Clouds.
Right.
That's an inside joke unto itself. The name of the group.
Right.
You know,
well, and I was thinking today when I was thinking about inside jokes, the whole Sons of Ben and the Zolos.
Yes.
You know, they all showed up to a meeting with the new ownership before the official announcement, and they all had the "Hello, my name is" tags on their shirts with 2010 written on it, and the owners all thought they were walking around with Zolo written on their shirt. And so they were kept going, "What's the Zolos? What's the Zolos all about?" And that became kind of an inside joke nickname for the union before they had an actual team name. They were going to be the Philadelphia Zolos. You know,
it's so,
I mean,
good though.
But yeah, and things like that.
Chupacabras.
You want to be in on the joke.
But we're serious about chupacabras.
I am going to have to come clean about the chupacabras at some point. I was going to do it on tonight's podcast, but maybe I'll wait.
Come clean.
Yeah, tell them that, you know, I've seen the shirts. Gorgeous. No. I look for a column I'm going to write on the website soon.
I don't believe you. I think Bird's the only one writing anyway.
Bird has been the only one writing for a while because he's young. He's got the energy.
He's got free time.
I'm a stay-at-home dad.
That's why. I remember when Brad was a stay-at-home dad. He was the most productive person I've ever seen.
That's true. That's true. It was awesome. No, I'm going to write a column called Inside the Joke, and I'm just going to kind of go through some of our inside jokes that we've had throughout the years. This is silly. You know, don't make it weird. Things, you know, how many cats do you have? You know, things that we toss around a lot, and people, you know,
it's just making me laugh already.
But yeah, and then I forget that some people don't know what these things, and they become things people say,
and they don't know,
but
the
they maybe don't know where they came from. So I'm going to talk about things like that. I'm going to talk about the origin of El Chupacabra, and where that came from, and things like that, just to let a few more people in on the joke. So.
That's a good idea.
Inside jokes are definitely one of the best reasons to become a Lulligan.
Because we're just funny motherfuckers.
We are, kind of.
That's what it comes down to.
The Austrian police.
Lots of inside jokes.
There you go.
That,
there's
yeah.
one right there. They're, you know, they all work themselves out.
So, yeah, things like that all make it a part of being in the group.
Excellent. Something not so funny that we probably ought to talk about real quickly is the end of the Piasaw season.
Yeah.
2-13. They still have a makeup game to play against the Waza Flow.
Yeah, it was a bad season.
It was a hard year. It was a hard year. And, you know, credit to Matt and Lindsay. They busted their asses and did as much as they could. But they're only two people. They can't win games.
Yeah. And I mean, the players, I mean, I think they were all playing hard. It just, you know.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is. But, you know, credit to them for, you know, their hard work and their efforts this year. And we'll see where that road goes.
While we're talking about that, I've got a list of questions, but one of them was directly about the Piasaw, so I want to go ahead and interject that here. Oh. We can talk about it for a little bit. Dave Corbett brought up the rumor going around, and it's something we've heard for quite a while, that PASL and MISL are considering, or it's rumored, that they might merge. Probably would be a good thing for the indoor league. You know, I don't know that we need two at that level.
Have some sort of promotion and relegation going on? Or?
No, I think they're talking about, you know, an ABA-NBA type of merger, taking the strongest of the PASL teams and making them MISL teams. The MISL is only 8 teams this year.
If that.
It was small.
Yeah, it was and the PASL has a lot of teams.
Right, spread out better.
Yeah, I don't quite know how it would work in terms of a lot of it.
And since
multi-ball scoring would have to go.
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. I mean, technically MISL is a higher level than PASL. It's owned by the USL, so their structure is a little more sound. These are all questions that would have to be answered if the two groups merged. I imagine some teams would fold. I imagine maybe some teams might merge. I don't know how this works. You know, what markets have the same teams? Obviously, St. Louis, we have the Ambush in the MISL, and we have Piasaw in the PASL. So, I mean, it's no secret Ambush is the more successful of the two from a marketing standpoint. They had much more attendance. You know, I'm sure they made more money on the year. Neither one of them had a very spectacular season on the field.
Well, I think it would have helped the pass off. They had sparkly flip flops.
You know, you say what you want about Ambush. They did market well.
And, they did,
and
no,
they,
110%.
They brought in some money, and they had good attendance.
And I think that's part of it, too, is the money part about it, is that, again, you're looking at the smaller, weaker teams going to struggle in any sort of a merger where, you know, a 3,000, 4,000, 5,000-plus seat stadium is a lot different than what a lot of these teams can afford.
But that said, there are some teams in the PASL that are doing very well.
This is true.
Dallas Sidekicks, our friend Jamie Lovegrove is down there. They get huge crowds. They're on TV.
That's amazing.
It's a local, you know, channel, but...
But still, that's amazing to be on TV at this point in time.
That's a successful PASL team. The team in San Diego, I can't remember their name, they're always good, whatever. You know, that's a team that could do it. So yeah, I mean, it's a question that we frankly don't know, but there has been talk about it for several months that it might happen. So,
well, and you got to figure too is that the strength in numbers is probably better than trying to make it on your own.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know, they can continue to fight it out, or they can join forces and become a stronger league. But yeah, it does leave all kind of questions. Will they use the multi-point scoring? You know, will they, you know, I don't know how it'll be organized.
Will they play jock jams all the time?
Right. And I mean, and frankly, in the case of St. Louis, will one of the teams go away? I don't think a merger is possible. The two teams don't get along very well. I mean, there was, you know, allegations of sniping and, you know, coming in and stealing players and
reporting to the leagues.
One team calling the league on the other team for parking spaces and ridiculous things like that. So yeah, I don't see those two front offices merging well together and becoming one big
merging
happy family.
Like a car crash.
Right. So yeah, I don't know. Or could both teams exist in this new league? I don't know. Guess we'll see.
And that's the thing. Time will tell, but it's a unique situation too, because it's indoor,
right?
And it's not the outdoor game, and it's a different beast. Well, speaking of beasts, I got nothing.
Yes. Oh, you got
Tall Boy Roulette. I don't know.
Nope. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about
professional soccer.
El Chupacabras. Yes.
That was where I was headed. Actually,
I know beasts.
I know.
I picked up on it.
Yeah.
What can we say? Since Jim was here last time and told us about the www.stlprosoccer.com.
Which we still recommend that you go and sign up if you haven't yet.
That is a group that is headed by Andrew Haynes and Tony Glavin. And the goal is to bring a USL Pro team to St. Louis.
And it sounds like that they are more than serious at this point in time.
Yeah, Tony's made the rounds to the local radio stations, and St. Louis and the St. Louligans got mentioned on all the usual podcasts.
Tony was on KTVI as well.
Right.
So, you know, the face is getting out there saying this is the plan.
So what's the holdup? I mean, there was a huge buzz for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's kind of gone quiet. I mean, apart from Tony going
right
on the media, but it seems to have hit a snag or a snarl up, or the buzz isn't as buzzy as it once buzzed.
Well, there are a couple things. There are rumors of, you know, different things. The fact is, we don't know where the actual process stands. At last,
David Beckham. Let's admit it.
Tony's last statement was to St. Louis Public Radio. He said, we'll know within months. That could mean next week. That could mean literally a couple months from now. But the plan is, and USL has said, we will be announcing more teams before the season begins, which the season begins in a couple of weeks for USL Pro. I can't remember exactly what the date is. So we know that's the plan. We know that's the goal. We've heard rumors. I don't even want to speculate about those rumors because, you know, they're just rumors. one of the key things I think we need to talk about, or I don't that we need to talk about, that Tony and Andrew need to talk about, is where the team will play.
I'm suggesting international waters behind my house still.
That would be awesome.
That'd be my recommendation.
I don't know, you know, what the league's minimum standard for seating is.
I believe I read somewhere the other day 5,000 minimum.
And that now, and that could be, that's the plan. But if you have a temporary place to play, we know they were talking about Lindenwood. I think Lindenwood does have 5,000.
We went through this once, and you and I just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And we went through, and I think it was just short, but it had the potential.
Or, but if you say, look, we're going to play here for 2 years, and then we're going to open our own facility, you know.
Which Tony has always said right. That was the goal.
These are things that need to get lined up, I'm sure, before they can officially announce anything.
That's kind of my impression, and that's all it is that my interpretation of things, nothing more, nothing less, is that there's a lot of crossing T's and dotting I's, and, you know, when you're doing something this big, I think you want to put your best foot forward.
Right.
And sometimes that just takes longer than anticipated.
Some people have mentioned Soccer Park as a potential place to play. It is 5,000 seats.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Well, I think it is. It's close. It's in that neighborhood.
Speaking of close, nice and close to my house.
It's close to your house. Obviously, it's not owned by Gallagher, but it's owned by one of Gallagher's
officers.
Gallagher, whenever you talk about soccer in St. Louis, Gallagher is always involved in some aspect. You know, so we know Gallagher was looking earlier at an NASL team, or that was the rumor that was going around earlier.
Again, rumors.
Right, again. So, yeah, I don't know how much emphasis to put on it. We've heard maybe Gallagher's going to be a part of this somehow, whether as an investor or as an owner. And then we've also heard Gallagher has nothing to do with this. So those people saying play at Soccer Park. Well, if Gallagher's a part of it, that might be an option. If they're not, obviously it's not an option.
and we're again, back to my backyard.
Well, and we're also back to the fact that Soccer Park is turf. It was grass before. Everybody remembers it being grass, but they did come in and turf it. And I know Tony doesn't want to play on turf. Now, Lindenwood is turf.
Yeah.
So, again, for a short-term solution.
Field turf should always be a short-term solution. Right. That's not a long-term decision unless you're in a drought
right.
or a blighted area.
Well, and we know it is cheaper to maintain, which that was always Soccer Park's number one problem, was how expensive it was to maintain and operate the place.
However, there's a lot of injury that still comes with the field turf. I know that one of the Lions players from last year suffers really bad shin splints
right.
when they play on the field turf.
And that will, I mean, that kind of goes into who you bring in, who you can attract. Players take that into consideration. And speaking of which, USL Pro, their relationship with MLS, an MLS team might say, I'd rather not partner with a team that's playing on turf because I don't want my young guys.
They may
I'm
not even want
down.
Their guys playing, sit them this game because I don't want them on the field turf.
Exactly. So, I mean, these are things that have to be taken into consideration. Again, I don't even know if Soccer Park's on the table, but these are things you have to think about when you think about Soccer Park. So that's that.
So really nothing. That's nothing, pretty much our answer.
Nothing,
everything is nothing.
Other than Tony says, this is what we're going to do. This is the plan. And right now we're waiting. And we know Tony and Andrew are working hard on this.
Yeah. And again, if you can get people to go to the website, stlprosoccer.com. Again, that's another one of these things, like buying season tickets, that you can do to get behind something and just show. You know, they want to know. This is... For the longest time, we always kind of laughed in a little bit that petitions don't do anything.
Right.
This isn't a petition. This is saying, yes, I will do something.
Right.
This is saying that I am interested in it and I want to come out and I want things to be cool.
There's a box to check. I'll buy season tickets or I'll buy individual game tickets or I'd just be interested in following the team or whatever. So
doesn't get much easier than that. I mean, no real investment, just 30 seconds of your time. Maybe a minute and a half if you read slowly.
So that's all we know about the Chupacabras or the USL Pro team.
They're the Chupacabras.
We know Tony's working on it along with Andrew Haynes of the Ambush. And We know that hopefully within the next couple months we'll hear something more concrete. I actually thought we would have heard something by now, more concrete by now, because like Matt said, they started the buzz, and then like you said, it's kind of gotten a little
quiet. When does the season start?
The USL Pro season starts, I'm thinking late March, but I could be wrong.
I mean, it would make sense for Haynes and Glavin to go out to a couple of games in the new season to see how would the teams operate. I mean, that's what I would potentially do.
Well, and I mean, also remember, Tony's been in the USL family for 9 years now?
I believe so. He's a fixture at the AGM.
Right. Tony's been doing his research, and Haynes is in MISL, which is part of the USL family, so... You know, they've done their homework, I'm sure, and they're both going into this eyes wide open.
First game is March 22nd, by the way.
Well, there you go.
Orlando City at Charleston Battery.
So, and we know there's already a couple new teams announced for next year. The Colorado Switchbacks. Talk about a bad name.
Nice.
More natural disasters.
The, what is
Switchbacks
it?
A trail.
That, yeah, exactly. I know, but it's more about the natural, environmental.
There's going to be the...
Colorado erosion.
this year, there's the Oklahoma City Energy and the... I'm getting my years mixed up. The Energy and the Sacramento Republic. Next year, Colorado's been announced, and I believe Tulsa?
Tulsa, I think.
And they're trying to decide...
Either do they go Roughnecks or do they go...
Roughnecks or FC or Strikers. Roughnecks would obviously be the throwback to... NASL days. So there's at least two new teams for next year. Orlando City will remain a pro team. We had talked about that earlier. We didn't know if that was going away. They may move. They may move to Louisville. That's the hot internet buzz.
Which, again, if they do move to Louisville, that's another nice little short drive for us.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
I mean, you know, if we have a team, that would mean that we'd have Louisville close by. We've got
the Oklahomas, both of them.
Yeah, that's about 6-7 hours right. drive. Trying to think what else there is.
Dayton. I don't know how far Dayton is, but.
Yeah,
it's 7 hours.
Yeah, so, I mean, Ohio's a long-ass state to drive through.
But they're building out the region is the important thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, there's going to be a Midwestern presence, and we need that.
You Americans and your... ideas of distance just blow.
We think that's a short drive. Yeah.
Tulsa's close. There's a 5-6 hour round trip. I'm like, we used to think like Liverpool, which was 40 miles away, was like you needed to have a night in a hotel. You know, a road trip for us was like something you'd just go to a taco shop for.
Right, right. Me driving to Mitch's house is a road trip.
It's a totally different concept of distance.
It'd be like driving out to Lions tryouts yesterday.
Yeah, that was a far away. Let's go ahead and jump into Lions tryouts. That's all we have for Chupacabras. I will have a few more things in our Q&A section, but the short answer is we don't know what we don't know.
No.
And what we do know is the goal is 2015.
That's all we know?
That's all we know.
So, tryouts.
Tryouts.
Let's talk fun. Not something that we don't know anything about, because we knew about tryouts.
All three of us were at tryouts, along with Pat Mahoney and John Clemens.
Yes, the cripple joined us. It was good. It was cold from the wind. It wasn't necessarily cold in the sun, but the wind was...
Saturday was beautiful. We elected not to go that day. We elected to go Sunday and
we have cold. Never chosen a good weather day to go.
No. Although last year, Pat sat out in the snow, so...
Well, Pat's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he ain't got nothing better to do.
A little bit lower turnout than... previous years.
Yeah. Jim mentioned that they had a lot of young guys turn out, which is good.
A lot of young guys.
And they had a lot of good young talent. Now, these aren't guys ready to step into the first team, but a lot of good young players to watch, either for the reserve league or to tell them to come back next year, and you're almost ready.
Yeah. One of the things that Jim had mentioned to us while we were standing around, and hopefully doesn't get pissed for saying this, but he mentioned that the reserve team is going to have more, was it under 20 guys? Was that the number that he said? This is the first time that they're going to have almost a complete reserve team of U-20s. And at first I was like, okay, whatever. But then you get to thinking about it, it's like, well, you can play on the PDL teams till you're 23, I believe it is.
Right.
That means you're going to have, for some of these guys, 5 years, yeah. 6 years in your system.
Yeah, well, and that, yeah. I mean, he was looking at it as, it's going to be a little slight in the top. But then I was thinking, yeah, but next 2 or 3 years look pretty good if you can have those kids that long.
Yeah, and truth be told, that was the thing, is that you, the first game, when you're out there watching, for those who haven't gone before, the first couple games are usually not the talent. That's usually the very last game where you're seeing the returning players play and seeing how they're doing, and the guys that have that have been around for a few more years.
Right.
So, you know, in those first couple games, you're seeing the guys that are actually trying out, so to speak.
Some of them weren't really trying.
No.
Right.
I mean, but there was a lot of good players out there, but and they made it.
And it's always hard because you're playing with guys you've never played with before. And so you're really looking for individual skill in those games. And, yeah, some guys showed they've got a little potential. And some guys, well, we always find a new friend. And this year it was pajama pants.
One of the, and I'm going to use the term loosely, wingers, was we're pretty certain he was straight out of Central Casting for a 70s show.
I'm sure he was high. He fell on his ass and started laughing. And
not only did he fall on his ass, but he did that fall on his ass
in slow motion.
Slow motion, and then the legs spread out in the V, kind of like a toddler that's learning to walk that falls on their diaper.
Well, and I mean,
he ran like he was towing an RV. Yeah.
And I mean, that's the thing. We say sweatpants, which may not seem like a big deal, because a lot of the guys were wearing like your nice soccer sweatpants. Yeah,
like the Adidas Capri pants.
Or the pants that go tight on the lower legs. Right, things like that. This guy was wearing like Walmart baggy sweatpants.
Yeah, it was...
Like he was stealing stuff in his pants. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect him to have cleats on. I expected him to have Adidas Superstars on.
Right.
On him, or flip-flops or something. It just didn't match.
And the one thing that really made the tryouts for me is we did nothing but bag on this poor kid for an hour.
Oh, probably 2 hours.
And he walked around. He like would throw his hand up in the air like, I'm open, but he wasn't really, you know. And then miraculously, the ball
falls out of his feet.
Squirts into the box, and he's standing there, and it bounces off of him into the goal. He scored. He's a goal scorer.
That happened?
Yes.
I guess it was right after you left.
Right after you left.
He was a goal scorer.
It was a garbage goal and a half.
I see him there in May. I'll just laugh my head off.
I mean, Mitch and I were in the middle of time. Oh, look at this son of a bitch. He scored.
It was just, and the thing was, he had no business even being in the box.
I don't think he even saw the ball. I think it just hit him.
No, I'm dead serious. He shouldn't have been in the box because the play was on his side of the field.
Yeah, it was.
So he was way out of position to begin with. It, you know,
no, he meandered into the box. He wasn't in there.
We could be talking about John Terry's goal for Chelsea. Oh, he's rubbish. Oh, he's slow. Oh, he's old. He got in the box and look what happened.
Exactly.
Oh, no, this wasn't even a poaching or anything like this. This was.
No, this kid was like seriously looking around for the Cheerios. And it hit him in the leg and went in. Like, hey, coach, I got to go to the bathroom. And it, you know, hit him in the back and went in.
He was eyeing which of the...
If he was high, if someone tells him it's a 40-yard screamer, that's his memory.
Well, that's true. Well, no, Mitch...
He's got a bullet.
Mitch said he's going to go home. He's going, I don't know why I didn't make it. I scored. You know, they pay me to score goals. That's what I do.
Right. It also brought up the other thing, and I don't remember who brought it up, but he had on the flashy colored boots as well.
Yeah,
that, you know, these guys that were out there in the flashy colored shoes.
Not all of them. Some of them earn. You can wear pink if you're that good. Right. But it was funny because the last game when the returning guys came,
Workman,
90% of those guys had plain black Adidas or plain black Nike boots.
Old school.
Yeah, just that, you know, they all had black shorts on, no sweatpants, right. No nothing.
The
underneath.
Kids that were awful had the fluorescent green, you know, Nike Hyper Venom Super Sala X5s.
Or three pairs of flashy.
Well, yeah. Exactly. But, yeah.
And
I mean,
you have no business trying out.
No black cleats.
But, I mean, yeah, this kid, I mean, all the regular guys had on black shorts, no sweatpants, t-shirts. All these other guys in their snoods and their, you know.
Well, and don't forget the one athlete, and I use the term athlete loosely, who had on actual sweatpants.
Oh, tucked into his socks.
Tucked into his socks underneath basketball shorts.
Basketball shorts, yeah.
So he had layers on, and his one attempt when the ball was about waist high. And
it was reminiscent of me on the field. And, the ball's passing me.
Well,
up.
He didn't have a cigarette.
I'll do a back kick at this thing.
But the problem was is that it was quite high, and he tried to get it, and just pretty much did a Charlie Brown.
I think he pulled something.
And it was again the good players stand out. The bad people
and they did stand out. They did
stand out. Yeah.
No, they did. Yeah, we saw one of the people was Drew Orff, the goalie.
Kid was
oh my lord
stud.
He plays for the Glavin U18 team.
Yeah, he's 17.
He played with the reserves all last year for the Lions, so right. He's already familiar with the system. And that boy stood tall. He came out on a couple of them challenges.
Yeah,
had some point blank drives that he just parried off. He was phenomenal.
He looked good.
I was stunned the whole time. We were just standing there saying, "Okay, this kid's." I mean. He's good enough to challenge our start, our main guys.
Player of the year,
Noah Fazekas. I'd be worried, Noah.
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if this kid didn't get some time with the first team.
Absolutely,
and he's only 17. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's
hey kid, you want to go to Winnipeg?
Yeah, exactly. Noah doesn't feel like making the trip.
At least he's not banned from Canada yet.
That's true. No, but that kid was good. There were a couple of kids. I mean, obviously, we didn't have a roster out there, so I don't know all their names.
I got a handful of the names that okay. We were happy with. LJ, and I'm going to fuck up his name terribly.
That was the kid that was late.
Adejumani. He was late. And
The players knew him. He's one of the Glavin kids.
Yeah, he's on the U18 team as well.
So the veterans knew him and gave him a whole ration of shit when he showed up like 10 minutes late.
Yeah, were you there still for that part, Matt, when he showed up late?
They all made him go tell Tony he was late. He was just trying to sneak in and get on the sideline.
It was a Taco Bell then.
Okay. Yeah, that we do need to get the taco tryouts.
Yes.
Our hashtag of the day.
Yeah, Matt, Matt's always good about bringing something to the party. You know, like he brought Kraftig for the last podcast. I was hoping he was going to bring a couple 12-packs. He did. 12-packs of tacos.
And before we give him too much shit, our fat asses got down on those tacos.
Right, we did.
I don't think he even said hi, boys, before we were taking tacos. So.
And he even dumped out a handful of hot sauce for those that use the sauce on their tacos. So, I mean.
He did it right.
Yeah. Kudos to him. I mean, well done. We're proud of you.
Taco tryouts.
We're easily bought off is what that tells people.
Yep. And when we started yelling, we want tacos, the guys thought we wanted them to score goals. But no, we just wanted some tacos from Matt.
We didn't get like this eating salad.
That's right.
No, we did not.
But
LJ had a hell, I mean, evidently showing up late and getting your ass chewed by the boys.
Imagine how good he would be if he showed up on time.
I know.
If you're listening, LJ.
He had
some good moves out there.
Yeah. However, he had the one moment that nobody wants to have happen in a tryout. He ended up having to take a PK.
Yeah, the veterans were standing by us at that point. They're like, oh, no good can come of this. A PK, either you make it and, yeah, you're supposed to, or if you miss it, That's it. He did make it. He did put it away.
Yeah, it was a little interesting stagger step to take the shot.
Yeah. Again. I think they should have let Sweatpants take it. Just to see what would have happened.
It was the English kids, all the English veterans standing there going, don't take a penalty.
Take a penalty. that's their general stance on life.
I stood there nodding.
Yeah. What's he doing? He's taking the penalty.
You don't step forward for one of those.
Yeah. We had some fun with Alex and Jay and Jacob. They were in good
spirits. Yeah. It was good. They were having a good time. And when they got out there, you could see that level for these young guys to aspire to, you know, that, you know, if you're 17, if you're 18, those two or three years, that maturity changes it.
Well, and it was a comfort factor because they were up with us joking, laughing. Hey, watch us when we get out there. That's when, laughing and
make
giggling.
Make sure you got enough battery for your camera.
I mean, you know, doing a little jog around the field before they play, you know, giving each other shit. But
over the ball.
As soon as they stepped on the field, it was like, game time. And immediately the chatter picked up. I mean, they're used to playing with each other, so they're screaming at each other what
but
I'm doing,
that,
what you're
that
doing.
That talk, that confidence, that communication, you know, it really shows. And I hope a lot of those young guys took something away from that where it was, you know, that there's a difference there, and that's what you need to be at. I mean, you're hearing them, you know, yelling.
Well, there'll be some kids that were trying out, and they will pick up their game just through playing with better players.
Absolutely.
I don't want to pick on him, Dempsey, but, you know, Clint Dempsey plays better with better players around him.
Right.
Or not to pick on Dempsey, let's say John O'Shea at Sunderland. He looked great at Manchester United. If you put him in a Sunderland team, he looks like clown car.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are certain players, if they are trying out for Glavin, you put them with some of the better players, and they will be able to naturally step up their game. And I think that's probably what Tony's looking for.
Right.
Yes. And that was one of the things we had seen in years past where you could tell that, okay, these guys aren't so good, those guys aren't so good. But you also saw, let's see what he does with lesser players, and let's see what he does with, well, actually, I can use a great example is that a friend of mine, his son, Gavin Prisha, was trying out for the Lions. He's 17. This is his first year getting out there. The first game, he was with the lesser players. He was with, you know, pajama pants and some guys that were not, you know, they're not on the radar.
Right.
But he started to stand out a little bit. They played the second game, and they moved him over
to the team. He held him up into the second game, which I thought was a good sign. It's like, okay, you showed me a little bit. Let's see what you can do with a little better player.
Yeah, and he did. Yeah. And to his credit, to Gavin's credit, he really came through in that second game, although he missed a easy shot, which I'm going to give him shit about till the end of the world here.
Sure.
But, you know, talking to Jim today, he's made the reserve team. And
but again, if you get him out there with Jay, for example, who Jay's out there, he's taking command, Jay would tell him, no, you make this run, or I need you here. When you're playing with guys you don't know, there's a lot of that unsureness. I don't know what Matt's going to do with the ball. I don't know. And if Matt doesn't know my name, he's not going to yell at me and tell me where to go. You know, so I think some of that will come with playing with these guys.
Absolutely. And that's the other great thing about, you know, getting in on that reserve team for these guys like Gavin and Drew and LJ is that you start to build up that repertoire with each other now.
Yeah.
So in 2 years, when you are a starter on the first team, you're good. You're ready to go.
Well, and let's go ahead and say that, too. Several of these kids that did well were from the Glavin system. I mean, again, going back to the point, whether it's England or the MLS or even our USL PDL team, that system, that academy, that, you know, you kind of grow up learning to play together, and then it shows when you're at the next level. You know, I mean, just think of Manchester United's, you know, wonderful class there where, you know, 6-7 of those guys had played together since they were, you know, 12. Well, when they step into the first team, magically they know where each other are going to be because they're used to playing with each other. Same kind of thing with these Glavin kids who've been playing with each other since they were, you know, 12. They looked better out there together because they knew what the other ones were going to do. So,
well, and Jim gave me some numbers on that too. He had 6 guys from his Glavin U18 team out there. The U18 team played Saturday morning. Then they went to tryout Saturday. Then they came back for tryouts on Sunday. And 4 of those 6 are going to the USL ODP national team.
Right.
ODP is the Olympic Development Program. I had to look that up because I had no idea what it was.
It's part of the Bradenton system, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, so it's like they're working on trying to find those next guys for the national system. We're sending guys there.
And we know Gallagher every year sends multiple kids to these things.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice that...
I believe Rush does as well.
Yeah, I mean, several of the clubs in St. Louis. So Glavin's got their own, and hopefully, if we get a USL Pro team, some of the local kids will filter into that, too.
I hope so. I genuinely think at this point in time, this is something that can happen. I mean...
And I know Tony is, you know... We all know soccer in St. Louis is such a political bitch.
It's a fragmented hell.
Where, you know, these guys don't get along. But Tony's dream has always been to get all the other clubs from St. Louis in to try out for the PDL team, even if you're not a Glavin player. Because PDL helps these kids get more experience and move along.
Well, that's what I was thinking about with the 17-year-old, your friend that I met, who's into the reserve team.
Gavin.
It's a foot in the door.
Absolutely.
You know, at 17, and you're going to go travel around the country playing games, competitive games.
Right.
And there's an end game. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, there's the reserve team, then there's the first team, then there's USL Pro, and, you know, then there's MLS, and
right.
then there's the US national team. There is a continuation.
Well, and we talked about it last week with Jim a little bit. There was a time in the country when the way you got to MLS was you went to college, and then you got drafted. And that still happens, but nowadays, your college coaches are, they used to not tell your kids, no, I don't want you playing in the PDL in the off season. I want you to do it my way. I want you to do my strength and training program. Now the college coaches are saying, find a PDL team.
Well, that's exactly what happened with Gavin. Gavin played for Parkway West for the past 4 years, was a starter, fantastic season this year, and looking at colleges, really wasn't certain on what the plan was with money and stuff like that, ends up going to signing with East Central College, right out in Union, you know, an hour away. The coach right away says, have you considered going out for the Lions? Right off the bat, just, you know, is this something on your radar? And he goes, yeah, you know, Dad's friend Mitch is telling us about it, really thinks it's a good idea. He goes, I definitely want you to get out there.
And you can't beat competitive right. games.
Well, and coaches used to discourage it, now they're encouraging it.
Yeah.
The only way to stay match sharp is to
play
match sharpness.
Yeah, and like you were saying, so he's going to go straight from high school into the reserve system for the Lions. Then in the fall, he'll be in college, come out of that, go back to the Lions again.
Now he'll have had college experience, he'll have had PDL experience, and he's still 18.
Right. I mean, you know, he can't, you know, he couldn't even vote, and he's going to have experience that a lot of guys just didn't have that option 5 years ago.
Well, and there's also, it's a different coach, so you're learning something different. You know, obviously it helps if the college coach and the PDL coach are kind of on the same page, or at least they
running
don't,
similar systems.
Or just not teaching them completely opposite things. But it's in addition to the actual games, you know, you were talking about, it's the training every day mm-hmm. with older kids who have been around a while. It's traveling, which helps you, you know, we were joking about, you know, in England, a 40-minute trip is a long trip. That is one of the biggest problems with when players come over to the MLS from a foreign country. The travel is what, like, throws them for a loop, because you're getting on a plane or you're getting on a train, or, you know, our kids aren't getting on a plane. They're getting in a van and driving to Winnipeg. You have to learn to play with that. You have to learn to deal with that.
And you build a camaraderie, too.
Well, that. And then when you go to college and you make those road trips, you're a little more ready for that kind of stuff. So, I mean, all of it is good experience, no matter what you do. If you end up playing through college and you stop there, or if you do want to move to the USL Pro, and we know if you're in USL Pro, now they're affiliated with MLS, you get seen by MLS scouts. So,
well, and
all great experiences for a young guy.
And I think that we're going to see a lot of, we already do see it, but I think we're going to see even more of it in the upcoming future, is the PDL teams and the pro teams having that cooperative system. You know, like, for example, there's the LA Galaxy 2 in USL Pro.
Right.
They're going to, at some point,
talk about that, too. I'm not quite. How's that going to work?
I love when Matt's just stammering, because you know that he's got something good coming out of this.
Here's the thing. Not to go off on a tangent here.
No, this is a good time for it.
LA Galaxy 2 signs a player and signs him on a signing bonus of $1 million. That's under LA Galaxy 2. And then they go, oh, would you like to play for our first team? We'll put you on a contract for $50,000 a year. And how's that going to go under the salary?
There are rules that USL Pro players fall under. So I don't think you're allowed to play a USL Pro player $1 million, for example. You know what I mean? There are minimums and maximums at the pro USL
you know,
Pro,
just,
too.
I'm just concerned that they can squirrel a guy a bunch of money and then bring him up, and it won't affect.
If there's a way to do it, the Galaxy will figure out a way to do it, because Galaxy are known for making up rules as they go along.
Well, and to be fair, MLS lets them.
Well, yeah.
That's the other problem.
Half the time, MLS is helping them.
Yeah.
But it is something to be aware of, but technically it's a separate team. It's owned by the Galaxy, but they have their own rules that they have to fall under, and theoretically should be the same as any other USL Pro team. You know,
theoretically.
Now.
We'll talk about this again in 6 months.
Well, no, yeah, no, you're exactly right, and I'm sure all it takes is for them to win 3 games in a row for the rest of the league to start saying, "Well, it's Galaxy."
You know? Well, and that's kind of the other thing too is that, you know, now we're going to start looking at if Kansas City, you know, if Sporting KC has an affiliation with a team, you know, how does that affiliation work versus
something even more kind of screwy than Galaxy's too, is there are certain teams that have more than one affiliate. There are MLS teams with more than one affiliate. There are USL Pro teams that are affiliated with more than one MLS team. So that gets weird when, okay, I'm thinking of the Sacramento Republic right now. They've already got to deal with Portland Timbers and with the San Jose Earthquakes. They get 4 players from each of those teams.
The Quakes.
The rebranded Quakes. So they get 4 players from the Earthquakes, from the Quakes. They get 4 players from the Timbers. That's 8 players. Now, they really only have to pay.
Yeah, no.
You know,
no, you're absolutely
10
right.
players. Yeah. So maybe they sign another deal. Maybe they sign a deal with Seattle. There's 4 more players that I don't have to pay.
And it doesn't hurt those teams to have more than one affiliation too as well.
Well, it does if at a certain point the Timbers come and say, hey, I gave you 4 players because I want you to play them. You're playing the Quakes players, but you're not playing my players. It's going to make for some weird conversations.
Interesting bedfellows.
I could see the league coming down at some point and saying, no, you can only affiliate with one team, or you can
one-on-one.
Right. So they're still working out the rules and how all this is going to work. So it should be interesting.
And continuing with that too, with LA, for example, they're going to be able to have a better directive than, say, if they affiliate with Sacramento.
Oh, they hire the coach. I mean, they can
It's, you know, we want these guys playing. We want to prepare. We don't really care about the USL Pro team as much as we care about the parent club.
Right.
So does that affect, you know, well, we don't care if we're going to lose this game because we're more concerned about what the players do. I mean, you know, how do they treat that USL? Does it actually devalue a USL Pro team?
And I suspect the answer is every club's going to do it differently. FC Dallas, we know, was on the verge of starting a USL Pro team like Galaxy has done. We assume they'll do it next year or the year after that. But yeah, how the Galaxy does it won't be the same way that FC Dallas does it. So it'll be interesting to see how these different teams do it. Some of them will probably treat it just as a developmental squad. Some of them are going to try to win the league, you know. We'll see.
What also concerns me is that it'll turn into how it is in Europe with, say, Chelsea, in that they just buy up all the talent and then loan it all out.
There will definitely be some of that, yeah.
You know, they're buying players just to stop other teams from getting them, and then they'll just loan them out.
I will say the reason that Galaxy has started their own team, and I think the reason they were right to do so, is Southern California has so much talent. And their academy system is probably as good as anyone's as far as the number of kids they've got versus how many spots in their first squad, which they do buy players for. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of spots for those kids to move in. This will give them time to kind of bed these kids in a little bit, see what their real level of talent is.
That's a real good point because there's the Orange County Blues, I think.
Yeah, the Orange County Blues.
You got Sacramento.
Which, I mean, right now you'd think Orange County Blues and, we'll get to it a little later, Chivas USA or player to be or team to be named later might pair with Orange County Blues. That might be a good partnership for them. Because again, they're pulling from that same huge LA talent base. Yeah,
this is going to be really, really interesting in that respect.
I think so. I think it should be fun.
I do hope that we get an opportunity to see more of the USL Pro, you know, via web streaming and stuff like that. That's
the great thing. USL Pro, all of their games this year are on YouTube free.
Right. Yeah, so. And that was where I was headed with that. Was that, you know, we've got an opportunity to see where this talent goes, to see what we're going to be looking at. And to see what's coming up in the pipeline. I mean, this is...
Yeah, I'm going to be watching a lot more USL Pro this year than I ever have. Well, A, because I'm able to. And B, because hopefully we'll be playing some of these teams next year.
Again, this is one of the best times to be a soccer fan in the United States.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Let's take a break before we go any further.
All right.
And then we can come back and hit
just
some
couple,
questions.
Yeah, just a couple things to hit, and we'll do that when we get back.
Cool. Let's take a break. We'll see you in a few. Not only do the Lulligan support the Lions, the Piasa, and the Fire and Ice, but we also support each other. Turn to Lulligan-owned businesses when making your business decisions. Get your custom t-shirts and apparel from Adrenaline Prints. Immortalize loved ones or events with a tattoo from the Washington Tattoo Collective. And use your electric for your home and business electrical services. Lulligan's working together to help grow soccer in St. Louis. And now, back to the foolishness of This Is Silly with the Lulligans.
Push the button.
I pushed the button. We're back. I had to pee.
A couple more things about the Lions I want to hit real quick. We found out May 3rd is going to be their first official friendly. And they are taking on dun, 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 the Ambush.
Wow, you were so dramatic, Brad.
Thank you.
You see what? See why he gets paid the big bucks?
I actually think this might be a fun game.
I think so, too. It'd be nice. I'm curious to see how the Ambush guys will do when they can't pass it off a wall and things like that.
There's that. There's also the fact that...
goals only count for 1 point.
We assume. these guys have been playing together. This is the end of their season, so they know each other as well as they're going to know each other, versus the Lions, who a lot of them will just be getting into town, haven't played together in a year.
Conditioning.
They're not in shape. They're, you know, at the beginning of their season versus the end of the Ambush season. I'm not entirely sure that, you know, I mean, we laugh, say, well, it's outdoor. Of course the Lions are going to win. The Ambush might be ready for this game.
Oh, I
well,
definitely
also,
think
and with regards to indoor football, your first touch has to be absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
And your ability to pass very quickly, you know, I hate using the phrase, but the whole tiki-taka, the pass,
right,
Barcelona system. That's an indoor trait.
And that's the Brazilian team. They all credit futsal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That's why they play the way they play. I mean, so there's that. The converse is they're playing on a field, you know, three times the size of their normal field.
Well, and they're going to be playing on grass instead of turf, which is a very different ball behavior.
And they can't roll subs every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
No.
They might have some rule. You know, I'm sure it'll be.
I don't think they will, because, you know, you look at, like, Acosta, who could and should play for the Ambush if he's not doing anything, who's been doing a lot of outdoor work lately and competing.
Oh, yeah. No, we should mention he is an Ambush player. He's missed the last several Ambush games because he's down in
Arizona
right now for a USL Pro NASL MLS preseason tournament, the Desert Cup. I think he was playing with Indy 11, maybe.
I don't know.
He's played for a couple different teams while he's down there getting a look in. And
getting a lot of time in.
You know, and he's posted pictures of him with Beckerman and him with, you know, my mind's blanking. Just different players from MLS.
Lyle Alzado.
Different players from MLS and USL Pro and, you know, and ASL down there. And good for him.
But that's a prime example, is that, you know, he's, you know, not only is he...
He's not an indoor player. He's a soccer player.
Exactly.
And a lot of these guys... I mean, well, Elvire was a AC St. Louis player. I mean, a lot of these guys have real soccer chops. They're not just indoor players. So
and it's going to train, like he said, you know, with the tiki-taka and, you know, the conditioning.
And they know each other.
And they know each other. They're gonna really take it to them, I think. I think the onus is going to be on.
Well, as
the,
you say, it's going to be fun. That's going to be the,
right,
the reason to go and have a look.
The only downside of that game, it does come on the high holy day,
yeah,
of Lulligan's.
Of Drinco de Mayo.
Drinco de Mayo. We always have a big party at John's house, so we're trying to figure out if we can get
a party bus
to come pick us up at John's.
I knew I'd made it in the inner sanctum of Lulligan this when John invited me to his party.
And then you'll
To be fair, Cat Fancy got invited.
I was going to say, you'll know you're really in when you don't even get invited. John just assumes you're going to be there. It's like, I didn't even, John, you know. He didn't even ask. He just knows I'm going to be there, and if I don't, I better be dead.
Yeah, pretty much, or in jail.
So, yeah, we're going to have to see if we can get a ride to just, I mean, I can just imagine the bus opening up and vomiting out, you know.
Just falling out.
30 or 40 Luligans who have already been well pre-liquored up. And
that is the weekend of the Glavin tournament out at the complex. So the kids that are playing get an opportunity to see these teams.
Yeah, it's a huge weekend at Glavin. There's always way too many cars and
not enough parking. And can't use our pavilion.
People looking at us like we're the interlopers. yeah, we'll let the Ambush know what the Luligans are all about that day. but it should be fun. Should be a great time.
Yeah, and again, it's also a great opportunity for them to get into shape against teams that they're not going to be playing during the regular season.
Well, and a chance for the Ambush front office and the Lions front office to work together a little bit.
Yeah, I would hope that that could continue into the future.
Yep. Then May 17th is the official PDL season opener against Chicago. We're going to target that day, try to get everybody out there, make it a big day, and have
a good
time.
It's always a big day. We usually start early that day.
Yeah, but we're going to try to get a lot of our friends and the Outlaws there, just some of the Amsterdam crew that...
Last year we barbecued and turned it into a large event.
Jason will bring his little soccer billiards game out there.
That is so much fun.
Yeah, we'll have fun.
It's a good time.
So those are two to circle on your calendar, May 3rd and May 17th.
June the 24th.
June the 24th.
England versus Italy.
There we go.
So I mentioned to Mitch the possibility of maybe having people over at my house to watch the England game and then going over at the Lions game. But
I told him it's probably not a good idea.
Well, we could do is...
May shit on his pillow.
We could talk to ITAP.
Somebody's probably me.
We could talk to ITAP or we could talk to Exit 6. We've done events with both of those places. Where they show the game ahead of time and get out to
ahead of time. How do they show the game ahead of time?
Ahead of the Lions game, either exit
hey,
six.
It's an Italy game. Yeah, they know the score.
Yeah,
they'll know the score.
Yeah, we don't even have to watch the game. We'll just get the results on. But no,
Uncle Silvio on the phone.
Right, but we do that usually in the summertime for Champions League,
yes.
Or for
World Cup
games or whatever. So I'm sure we can work something out with one of those two places.
And unlike the World Cup, in a couple of years, they'll have air conditioning. So it's a big positive.
Yeah. Oh, Qatar.
I saw there was a discussion about that again today online.
I don't want to talk about Qatar.
I think it's funny as hell.
It's not going to happen.
Not in the summer, eh?
They keep saying they're pushing it. They're saying we're going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah, well,
they are going to do it, and here's why: who's on the front of a Barcelona shirt? Who owns PSG?
Right. Yeah.
Fly Emirates on the front of your shirt, and it owns your stadium. They're going to have this World Cup in Qatar because,
and they don't care how many people they have to kill.
The paymasters say
there's already what 400 dead slaves.
No, 4,000. I thought it was
4,000. Well, yeah, let's kill some more people.
They're just slaves.
Speaking of calendars,
are we doing a sexy calendar?
That's what Sam wanted to know, but I'm going to answer it this way.
No.
Matt just mentioned an important date. The World Cup's coming up, and there's going to be a Lions game that same day. My friend Mitch, I've talked to him.
Who?
Mitch. Do you know him?
No.
Nice guy.
Sounds like he's awesome.
Bald, heavy.
Loves the cock.
No, my friend Mitch is... he's going to test his programming skills. He's going to make for the Luligans a special little, I guess you're not going to call it an app. It's just
not an app. It's an ICS file.
It's an ICS file he's going to make up that's going to have all of the St. Louis Lions games, all of the Fire and Ice games, all of the Bordeaux games, and any special events such as World Cup games. His birthday. It's going to be a little file you click on, and it's going to go into your smartphone. And that
or your Google machine.
Your Google machine or your smartphone, either way. And when you open up your calendar, that'll already be in there. So I know we go through and we make Facebook events for the games and stuff, but sometimes you're looking at next month before we've done that. This will have all the little dots on your calendar, smartphone, and
Google machine.
So that's what Mitch is going to do. That's what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I'd bring nothing else to the table. All this equipment.
Yep.
That's well worth a box of tacos.
That is worth a box. So that's something to look forward to.
I do like me some tacos.
Speaking of schedules for Bordeaux and for Fire and Ice, the reason we already don't have the Smartyphone schedule is we don't have the schedules for those leagues yet.
Yeah, Fire and Ice was supposed to release this weekend, and it did not happen.
There are some adjustments being made because they've got new teams in the league.
Lindsay said they were tweaking, and I originally read it as twerking.
Twerking.
Which...
I would pay to see the Fire and Ice twerk.
I was setting it up for you. I figured you would have had a little bit more than that.
Nah, I didn't want to get too rude with the Britneys.
Right, because you haven't done that already.
Fire and Ice schedule is supposed to be out this week, and we are going to have Lindsay and Erica on a podcast in the future to talk strictly about Fire and Ice's upcoming season.
Yeah, they've been staying busy playing in local tournaments.
Yep, the coaching staff and a couple of players and...
A couple of ringers. Lori Chalupny was playing and...
Yeah, they've won a few tournaments, and so good for them.
Keeping it
real. But yeah, we'll have Lindsay and Erica on to talk about...
And we'll have somebody from Bordeaux once they have theirs, too, as well.
Yes, Bordeaux will also be getting their schedule. They've got tryouts this weekend. Go to their website if you need more information about that. They will be, I don't know if we've officially announced, they're playing at Slough High this year. That's where their games will be. So those people looking for a St. Louis City venue to go see soccer, there you go. Check them out.
Dry campus.
It's a nice venue. I play co-ed league there on Sundays. It is a nice venue.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to going out and checking them out. And like Mitch said, we will have Sonny on the podcast to talk about their season within the next month. So,
I'm worried about the parking situation there so close to the Science Center, though.
You know, these are all things that we'll have to talk to Sonny about because I don't know enough about it.
SLU, you know, they have student parking. They've had plenty of parking for that kind of stuff for years to begin with, so I don't think
it's going to be. Again, if you're going to tailgate in the Science Center parking lot beforehand for about 3 hours, it's worth paying the $10.
There you go.
You know, that's another good point, because that would be tailgatable over there.
Is it? I don't know.
Science Center is not
school.
High school.
It's not school.
And there's also Forest Park right across this, you know.
There you go.
Good trolling in the woods. And
Rocco's ears just pricked.
Rocco's there right now. by the way, Rocco's been experimenting with the Tinder app, and that is just.
I also love that his picture for it is him wearing the helmet cam.
The first thing I thought of when he posted that, I was like, the Craigslist killer is going to show up to meet Rocco and change her mind and walk away. You know, it's like, oh, fuck. But anyway. If you're interested in Bordeaux, or if you're interested in Fire and Ice, and you all should be, we're going to have podcasts devoted just to them coming soon. So that's that.
Brad's going down his checklist.
I'm checking things off my list.
It's like Santa Claus without the beard.
Let's talk about something we hinted at earlier. This week, the big news in MLS was... MLS.
A franchise is only worth $25
million. Apparently. Yeah. MLS bought back the rights to Chivas USA from Chivas de la Guadalajara. Obviously, there will be a rebrand once they find a new owner.
And they've said flat out this year they are playing as Chivas.
Right.
They're not going to touch anything right now. They're just going to...
They've hired a caretaker manager, and the league will make decisions.
Business as usual. It's like when the NHL took over the Phoenix Coyotes.
Right. I mean, it's going to be weird. I mean, I can't imagine them going out and spending big money in the open market.
Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of DP signings.
Right. They're going to run it as a skeleton crew, I'm sure, and hopefully they'll find the right owner to rebrand and make it popular, because... L.A. is big enough to support another team.
Yeah, I do think that they're going to have to separate themselves from playing at the same building.
That's part of it. They're going to find...
I agree, because that Carson Center is miles away.
Well, and they're going to find another stadium location, hopefully in L.A. I think we're always talking about the branding. They branded it Chivas USA to hopefully get the Chivas fans, but they alienated the America fans and the other Latino cultures. At the same time,
the non-Latino culture, right? Too.
I think they should position themselves as the anti-galaxy. You know, sell it to
the microverse.
Sell it to everybody.
Rebel Alliance.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, you know, you can paint the Galaxy fans as the goody two shoes, as the soccer moms, as the rich kids that go out to Carson because they can afford to. Make this, you know, the team of the people in L.A., whatever that means. I mean, yes, it's going to involve Hispanic marketing.
But you know what? You can make it for everybody.
Exactly. It's, you know, exactly.
It's well, there's a badge of honor. It's like being a St. Pauli fan. There's a badge of honor being, instead of the highfalutin Hamburg fan, you're right down with the...
Well, and I heard somebody mentioning, you know, make it the Raiders of the MLS. You know, make them black and silver. Make them the bad boys. Make it, you know, anything like that would...
It can take off in a heartbeat. Yeah. And that's the other part about it, too, is that it's, you know, again, the Galaxy wearing the all-white, the Galactico-style kit. Be as anti-glamour as possible.
Yeah, be a city club. Yeah.
I love that idea. I think it's fantastic.
So, I mean... And it's kind of like FC New York is going to position itself as the city team for New York against Red Bulls playing out in New Jersey. You can do the same thing. So I wish them well.
I think that's going to be a little bit more interesting one just for the simple fact of the Manchester City Yankees interaction where they really are trying to become a metropolitan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Destination, so to speak. I think that's going to be interesting. From the hipster point of view, from the...
Well, yeah. And I mean, before I forget about it, Matt made a good point. The rumor is MLS bought it back for $25 million. What do they sell it for? We know the expansion fee now is between $70 million and $100 million. City team was $100 million. Orlando was $70 million. We don't know the specifics on Miami. It's probably going to be the $25 million because of Beckham's option, but it's in between that $70 and $100 million. So did they buy Chivas for $25 million and they're going to sell it for $70 million? Or are they going to give the guy a discount because whoever comes in is going to have to build a stadium, going to have to rebrand. There's going to have to be a lot of money pumped into. Sometimes it's easier to start off with a blank slate than it is with a bad
team. Yeah, I wonder what the legalese is going to be on them selling it to.
No idea.
I mean, just practical from a tax point of view, from a, you know.
He has, let's knock one rumor out of the park already. He has said, Garber, I'm speaking of, this is not Kroenke. Kroenke will not buy Chivas USA. This will not be the LA, this will not be the LA Gunners. The area he bought in Inglewood is for a super fucking Walmart. It's not for an MLS stadium.
Well, and that's the other funny thing, too. It's in Inglewood.
Right.
It's the city of champions, but it hasn't been a champion city for a while.
It's been a long time since there's been a champion in Inglewood.
It's a distribution center for a Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What it is.
But, I mean, people want to say, oh, he's building the stadium for
there's more than one rich person in Missouri.
Right.
Stop trotting out Kroenke's name, people.
Well,
he's got a team. It's in Colorado. Deal with it.
And he does fuck all for them, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
he does not invest money in sports teams. He extorts money out of sports teams. I wouldn't even want him as an owner. Really. He puts the bare minimum on the field.
Yeah, no, I mean, ask
Matt's a Rams fan.
No, but ask the Colorado Rapids fans.
Yeah, no,
they won a championship a few years ago in spite of what he's done.
Yeah, they won other squeaks and shit.
They lucked into it, and they had a good season last year with kids, not because he spent money, because they had some good youth.
It's fucking Major League, the movie.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, I'm to the point where Matt is. I get mad whenever I hear Kroenke's name because he ain't going to do nothing for us.
No.
And we don't want him to, even if he did. So
it's like people talking about the Fenton Chrysler plant as it's already been sold. You know,
well,
that kind
the
of
Union
thing.
Station thing that came up a while ago. It was a real estate deal. There was no MLS thing. Just because one rumor said they could
shoot it at the moon,
they could put an MLS stadium there. They could do every house in this neighborhood and put up an MLS stadium. They're not going to.
I got a couple they could start with.
Well, yeah, I mean, so. Give it up.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Well, and I think the problem is it's that desperation of grasping at anything, any glimmer of hope.
Well, and we do see it in Seattle, they've got a dual purpose stadium. In Atlanta, they're building a dual purpose stadium. Don't kid yourself. Atlanta is the next MLS team. It's to me, it's a foregone conclusion.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? If you're going to build a stadium, you're not going to build it just for 8 home games.
Right.
Right. And the Falcons owner has flat out said, you know, this is what I'm doing.
And Garber has mentioned Atlanta too many times for it not to be serious, and they're building out the Southeast. if Orlando doesn't come, then Miami and Atlanta don't make sense. But you get Orlando, Miami falls into place, Atlanta falls into place. You've built out the Southeast just like you did the Northwest with Seattle, Portland, and Vancouver. Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's going to work.
Talk about air-conditioned stadiums. Yeah. Needs to get on that
No
train.
Kidding.
And I'm not saying it's going to work as well, but it all makes sense.
No, it does. And you look at what they've done, that has been their mode of operation. You know, you have the Southern L.A., you have that New York or the metro area there.
Right.
You know, they've done this pockets, the Chicago-Columbus thing. It's always worked to their advantage to kind of play that out together.
You know, and apparently right now, Minneapolis is the odds-on favorite on 24 too.
And
so
right now, I can't necessarily put them as a bad choice.
I don't want anybody to say St. Louis in that 24 spot. There's five cities ahead of us.
We've got fuck all to do with it right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, and unless a magic money man shows up,
and they haven't shown up yet, why would they? You know,
exactly.
That's been my problem. Is that, you know, people keep saying, "Well, all we need is a guy to do it." Well, that guy's had many opportunities in the past. 2 years to do it, 4 years
no,
to do it.
We need USL Pro. We need to support that for 5 years. And then if they open expansion up again, maybe there is an investor who's ready to invest. But not right now.
No, not at all. And to kid yourself, well, that's part of St. Louis's problem, though. We always have that inferiority complex. And especially because Kansas City's done well, I think that's a little jab to the rib cage.
Well, and let's talk about that in relation to Chivas. I mean, we all know how abysmal Chivas has been for at least 4 years. They had a couple of good years there with Preki as the head coach and with Bob Bradley as the head coach. But basically for the last 4 years, they've been a joke.
Maybe even longer, though.
Really. And they're averaging, I think, 9,000 to 10,000 people, maybe. But it wasn't that long ago that Kansas City was a joke. I mean, the Wiz and then the Wizards playing in Arrowhead.
And then into a minor league baseball.
And then into a minor league baseball. They turned it around with a really successful rebrand, which included a new owner who was
and a new stadium
motivated, a new stadium, and, you know, doing everything right. Chivas could turn around.
Absolutely,
they get the right owner, they get the right location, they get the right stadium. They could become a hot team and be right back. So I'm not even giving up on that LA 2 team.
I honestly think it's probably the best thing they've done for the LA area. By far and away. I mean,
it needed to happen.
Chivas was a failure from the get-go. And
it needed to happen 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. And this is, again, coming into the, you know, we always joke about MLS 2.0. This is actually MLS 3.0 now. They're correcting their mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, you saw it with Kansas City. You know, the rebrand, like you said, you're seeing it. Toronto is going through it a little bit right now. They have to square up their stadium situation.
Columbus is going to go through it. They've got a new owner.
They're correcting their mistakes, but they're not. Look at what the plans are for Miami. You know, he's banking on the Latino support.
Miami, I'll grant you, the only reason Miami makes sense is because Beckham wants it.
That's it.
If it wasn't for David Beckham, Miami would be a non-starter. But that's what Beckham wants.
It's a glamour thing.
I can't defend Miami. if you're asking me to defend Miami.
Nobody can.
But the other places we're talking about, Columbus, they're getting a new owner. He's talking about rebranding. He's going to keep the crew. He's going to keep the colors, but rework the logo, improvements to the stadium. Columbus was the first team to have a soccer-specific stadium.
There is a bit.
It's a dinosaur by today's standards.
It's a bit. Bleachery.
It would be hard to justify spending $100 million on a new stadium, but he is going to put some money into revamping it, whatever that means.
Well, and there's plenty of modern accommodations that you can put into these new stadiums or into that stadium to make it like
it is,
a new stadium.
You said bleachery. It is all bleachers.
Yeah.
You know, he might create a luxury section, put in seats or something. I don't know.
It may even something go terracing.
Something to retool it a little bit.
But it's, as you say, they were the first to come. Yeah. And
they were the trendsetters. They were the envy of the league for a long time.
Absolutely. And it worked. It worked very well. I mean,
and it was the Hunt family. The Hunt family, you know, God love them. They're not really benefiting from any of this great success that MLS is having now.
But they were the cornerstones.
They bankrolled four teams and lost money for 10 years, you know. So
And not know where St. Louis is?
Evidently not, yeah.
They flew over it plenty of times going between their teams.
So anyway, that's, I mean, just wanted to touch on that. I think MLS buying Chivas is a good move.
Like I said, I'm genuinely excited for it.
It had to happen.
And all the fans in Chivas, you know, I feel bad for them. They've spent all that money on shirts, but in the long run, I think they'll be happy.
I genuinely kind of see this like an expansion team in a way.
And I was actually listening to a guy on a podcast today, and he said, you know, there's an opportunity for them to steal back some LA fans from the Galaxy if they do this right. So, you know,
everybody knows,
we'll see what happens.
It's there.
So good for them.
What else is on your magic checklist?
I'm down to questions. Just questions.
Q&A.
Q&A. People wrote in, tweeted in. These are the things they want to know. First up.
Hold on.
Okay.
Q&A is brought to you today.
Oh, yeah.
By Your Electric. Call Mark Gardner for your electric needs.
And that will lead me to my first question. Dave Corbett wanted to know, are we building a list of Luligan friends and businesses? Why, yes, we are.
That is something I am working on for the new website. I'm sure the people that go noticed I put a different template on it, just trying to work through some things. I'd like to get us into a more, I don't want to say professional mode of the website, but with Matt contributing more, with us being able to do more things, I'm going to try to put up a whole lot more pictures and videos and stuff.
And hopefully with more traffic coming our way because of all the USL Pro stuff, we want to get that website tightened up, and a part of that will be
Luligan-friendly businesses.
Luligan-owned businesses and Luligan-friendly businesses.
Yeah, you know, and we've got a good list going already. You know, we've got the Washington Tattoo Collective, Your Electric, Adrenaline Prince, you know. In that respect, I'm going to try to do as much as I can for them, just like they do for us. So whatever we can do, I'm going
to
do.
And if you have a business that you would like to be listed on there, please tweet us or send us a message on Facebook.
And by tweet and send us a message, he means bribe.
Yeah. But we would be glad to take
suggestions. 12ers of tacos.
Yes, and if you own a brewery and or bar, chances are high you could get on that list.
I would even rename the website. It would be stluligans.com, brought to you by...
Exactly.
I am a whore. I have no problem admitting it.
Let's see. The first play question comes to us from the reigning St. Luligan Player of the Year, Noah Fazekas. He said, what about the Lions' weaknesses last year? Where can we improve? And can we win the division this year? First up, new goalie
is a problem.
New goalie will solve a lot of problems.
17, he was a brick wall yesterday.
That's right. We'll get the kid out there.
He doesn't have a bad knee, you know?
Yeah. No, as you know, Noah, I mean, our biggest problem with every PDL team is turnover. I mean, we can't keep a consistent team together because kids are...
developing. It's in the name.
Exactly. Can we win the division? Sure, we can win the division.
We can even use an example. And yesterday we saw this example square one, was that 2 years ago we had the featured player of the week in Gerard. Gerard John Williams?
Yes.
And who, you know, was a hell of a player for the Lions in that 2012 campaign. 2013, he wasn't on the team.
Right.
You know, we don't know the situation. We don't know what's going on. Here he is yesterday at tryouts showing some of that flash, some of that skill that we had seen. You know, what happens in that year? You know, we don't know.
Right.
Those are the things that we'd like to see kind of come around and, you know, that tradition, seeing a guy for a couple of years. Like we were saying earlier with the reserve team.
Right.
You can see these guys for 5 years. We need to see them for 5 years. We can't have guys disappear.
Right. So, I mean, can we win? Yes, because every other team in the division is going through the same thing. I imagine Des Moines will be tough, as always. I imagine
Winnipeg?
Thunder Bay, will be tough, as always. We won't have Colorado in our division this year. We won't have Kansas City in our division this year. So those were two teams that were kind of on par with the Lions. So
it sounds like Chicago is in that area, but we haven't really seen them.
Right. So I imagine it'll be tough, but if people like Noah show up and play, just
start bringing his A game.
No, and I mean, again, goals. We need goals. that's always a problem.
And that was one of the good things that we did get to see yesterday, is that we saw a lot of guys that could finish.
Yeah, a lot of guys making runs and moving into the box. And
it's the beginning of the season. You know, your hopes and dreams are right there before the first game. They get crushed.
Right.
I'm a Newcastle fan. You don't need to explain that to me.
So, yeah, Noah, you can answer that question better than we can. You get out there on the pitch and do the work. And
when you get into town, you can come be on the podcast. And exactly. You can tell us exactly what your plans are to earn that trophy of player of the year again.
Yeah. And you can tell us which of your players aren't putting in the work.
Yeah. Call them out.
And we'll lambaste them.
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
So, yeah, we will on a future episode of the podcast, maybe mid-season, get a couple of players in here. This year, Johnny has moved up into the front office.
Can we have Johnny back on again?
We might have Johnny on a podcast, but we'll get players, actual players, not Johnny.
Well, he wasn't really an actual player last year, was he?
We'll get Noah back in here. He can be a repeat guest. He can be the old Wiley veteran this year.
Even though he was a new kid last
year. Yeah, maybe get Jacob in here. Jacob's fun to talk to, so we'll get some mouthy guys, get them in here, talk some trash.
That was one of my entertaining things from yesterday when you and Jake were having a bit of a go back and forth. I don't think Jake was quite prepared for Matt. And
well, as you say, I'm still there in a Carhartt jacket and boots and a baseball cap. He probably just thought I stepped off a bus from Wentzville.
Yeah.
Where are you from, dude? He's like, oh, Scunthorpe, middle of England. I know where Scunthorpe is. I've been there.
Well, didn't he answer at first England?
Yeah, middle of England.
Yeah.
Shit.
that was one of my, it's like, okay, this is going to be a good day.
Next question, Alistair, who comments and posts a lot. I said, what do you want to know? He said soccer stadium. I don't know what that means. Are we going to get a soccer stadium? For USL Pro level, I hope we get a soccer stadium. We're not going to build an 18,000.
As of now, it's Busch Stadium.
Yeah, and we're not going to build an 18,000 seat stadium with no MLS team, and there's no desire to do it. There's no money
to
do it.
We're not going to build a 10,000 seat stadium without a team. Period.
The Rams won't build a stadium, or the St. Louis won't build a stadium for the Rams, even when they're threatening to move. So, no, we're not going to see a big full soccer specific stadium in St. Louis anytime soon. If we get a USL Pro team, then they will look for property to build the appropriate size venue. Or if Gallagher's involved in a USL Pro team, they'll work on soccer stadium to bring it up to snuff. You know,
I may just build one out of Lego.
If I win the Powerball, I'd love to build one like they've got in Pittsburgh, the Riverhound Stadium.
Oh, I know.
You know, I think it was a $10 million stadium, you know, very, very, very nice stadium.
Fan friendly.
Fan friendly, and it's perfect. It's 10,000 seats, something like that. So, yeah, if I win the Powerball, yes, we'll get a stadium. There's your answer.
Is it going to be a Lego stadium?
I might build it in the Bahamas.
Okay. Along with your bank.
Yes. Cody, our friend Cody, wanted to know, this year, will Tony have a problem splitting duties between focusing on the Lions and focusing on a USL Pro team if and when that is announced?
Well, little known fact that Tony has actually pioneered cloning.
There's two Tonys.
There's
Tony and the Pocket Rocket.
That's right. That movie Duplicity, eventually they start getting crazier and weirder. And no, I think it is going to be difficult, but I also think that he's been gearing up for this for most of his, I don't want to say career, but his career change as into management. I would expect that's something that, you know, well, it's going to suck, but that's what I want.
No, and that's something that, quite frankly, we'll just have to ask Tony. I mean, we do want to, I don't know if we'll have him on the podcast or if we'll just interview him and play that back on the podcast, or maybe just write it up in an article. Tony's hard to get a hold of and pin down, but
because he's obviously busy, man.
He's doing, 15 different things, and that was before USL Pro got in the picture. So
if he's used to doing 15 different things, 16 different things.
Shouldn't be a problem. Yeah. So we will ask Tony about that, or we'll ask Jim about that, and Jim can ask Tony about that.
or maybe intern Johnny can take care of it for us.
We'll find out. Yeah, we'll ask Johnny.
Johnny can make it happen for
Johnny
us.
Johnny don't know shit.
No, Johnny will make it happen. We'll have him coordinate it.
Yes, exactly.
Johnny works for us now.
Well, and this is one from Liver Talk, Liverpool Talk on Twitter. He just wanted
the face Matt just made a face.
He just wanted us to talk about the growth of American soccer, and I think we've been doing that the whole time.
I think we've been talking about that for the past 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's exciting, and it's growing everywhere, and St. Louis is no exception. The only bad part is it's growing everywhere, and there's places ahead of St. Louis on that MLS expansion map.
It's a mainstream sport now. America is a soccer nation. It is, and it wasn't 12 years ago when I moved here, but it is now.
It wasn't 5 years ago, I don't think.
It's just leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we used to never even be able to watch it on TV. When the internet came along, it was a godsend because then you could find games on the internet.
Well, even when you did watch it, it was on Fox Soccer, which a lot of people didn't carry.
Fox Soccer was Fox World, which was even...
Fox World Sports, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But now I can watch every single Premier League game. I can watch most MLS games, and if I pay the $19.95 or whatever it is, I can watch them on my iPad.
Yeah,
La Liga games, Bundesliga games, Serie A games. We can watch them all pretty much.
The only thing I can't watch is I don't have his Gold TV. You know, and apart from that, I watched Napoli against someone today, and Parma and Fiorentina, and Paris Saint-Germain and Toulouse was yesterday. I mean, it's just astounding what...
Yeah.
We are a soccer nation.
Well, and I do think that the fact that America is so tied into the internet culture as well is a big part of that. That you can stream games, like you said, on your iPad or on a Roku or Apple TV.
Or just going into web forums and talking to other fans. And, I mean, you know, just on Facebook, I'm friends with Arsenal fans all over the world. I mean, not friends. I mean, I know them online, and we talk about it, and we, you know, email each other whenever something happens. I mean, it's a small world.
The kids who were 5 and 6 back in 1994 for the World Cup are now 22 and can drink.
Right, right.
You know, and they're going to soccer bars and watching it right there.
And it is becoming a popular thing to go do. You know, the fan that didn't typically ever go to football games or baseball games is finding an MLS team or a USL Pro team or an NASL team, and it's become a thing to do. So I think, yeah, we're heading in the right direction everywhere.
There's room in this country for multiple sports.
Right.
I mean...
Oh, yeah.
There's... You don't have to choose between American football and regular football. You don't choose between baseball and soccer. I mean, there's just room in this huge country of ours for this game. And even if 15% of the population likes soccer, that's still knocking on the door of 30 million people.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we talked about it earlier. MLS 1.0 was all about the soccer moms and the families, getting them out there. And MLS 2.0 became about getting the hardcore fans and supporters out there. And yet, we've always said this, there's room for both, and we need both. We need families,
in 1998, when it was engineered towards the kids and the moms,
right.
Well, those kids are now, as I say, 22, 23.
They're coming on their own, and they're having fun with their friends, and yeah. So, yes, well, I think we're all in agreement.
And taking it to the next step.
Is growing.
One more step on that, though, is that we've got, you know, people like myself and you guys that have children that, you know, they're growing up where it's now so widely available. You know, you talked about the guys that were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old for that World Cup 94 that can now drink. You know, my son, your son, they're going to be exposed to things that
were... already is.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's no, on the TV every day. My wife says she thinks she's living in an episode of Fever Pitch. I mean, seriously.
Well, and it's also to the point where now, you know, casual friends of mine, what are you doing this weekend? I'm going to a soccer game. And there, whereas it used to be, who watches soccer? Some of them are like, you know, I need to go with you sometime. That sounds like fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not this unheard of thing anymore. Now it's part of the common culture.
I've taken my father-in-law, who's a dyed-in-the-wool American sports fan, to the Amsterdam a couple of times. And he doesn't really get the games. I mean, he doesn't understand the nuances of the game. He does like the rivalry, the back and forth, the shouting at each other, the effing and jeffing. And
right.
Well, he also likes sitting at a bar at 9 in the morning. You know, he's into that. You know, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the season tickets. That's what it's about. It's about the back and forth, the drinking. You don't have to be a hardcore soccer guy. Because the soccer part is only 30% of what we do.
Right. Well, yeah, and we, I mean, to be fair, we have people that come out that aren't big soccer guys or huge knowledgeable fans, but they have fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's all about the camaraderie. It's about the, you know, getting along and having a good time. So
yeah. And the thing
and,
is,
too, and giving each other shit, like you said. I mean, at the Amsterdam, half the fun is, whereas in England, I don't have to tell you, there are bars that are, this is a United bar, this is a Liverpool bar, this is an Arsenal bar. You know, Amsterdam, you've got rival fans sitting right next to each other at the table giving each other shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, the same thing happens at the Lions games. You know, if Manchester United has a bad game and you show up, I'm going to give you shit. You're going to, you know, if Arsenal lost, you know, I'm not even.
Quite a bit.
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. I'm not even out of my car and Greg's telling me how bad Arsenal are. I mean, that's part of the fun of it. It's not a mean spirited, you know, fucking with. It's a, we're all friends fucking with each other. And that's part of the experience, too.
When the Death Star explodes and all the Ewoks.
Exactly. Not to put the Ewoks into my Inside the Joke article.
When Kenny just posts pitch. Like, United will lose to Stoke. They'll just put a picture of the Death Star exploding.
Right. His face right.
Page. I don't know instantly what he's doing.
So, yeah, and that's all part of the fun.
But see, you know, that's one thing, too, is that there seems to be a fun culture built into this game that doesn't exist in other sports. You know, I have friends at work that go tailgate for the Rams every weekend. And yes, their tailgating is much like ours, but that's about where it ends. They don't have that, we go park in the same parking lot every week. They're not Facebook friends. They're not hanging out. They're not in a basement recording.
There's an
podcast.
Element of soccer that social media has really
embraced.
But also, here's the thing, and it goes back to me saying but we need to be careful what we wish for. If we become this big MLS hub, we're going to become the Rams in that respect. There's going to be so many fans. You're not
sure.
Going to know
everyone.
Sure, sure, sure.
Well, and I mean, Mitch and I have talked about this a lot.
Just as long as they put a plaque up for me, that's all I care about.
No, but Mitch and I have talked about this a lot. If everything goes right, if all of our work is for something, there will eventually be St. Luligans that won't know who I am. And I'm cool with that. But I'm also happy with knowing everybody, like you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's maybe a few stragglers or people on the lurker groups that I don't know, but if they're coming to Lions games, pretty good chance that I know them personally.
Yeah.
And we all know each other, and we all have fun, and there's different kinds of people, and we've talked about that before, where maybe I'm not your cup of tea. I get that. I can be an ass. But we are a diverse group. There's somebody for everybody in our group, and yeah.
Is this a dating service now?
Kinda. All right. Kinda. God, don't tell Rocco. Last question I have is from Tim Reeder. And this is a good question, and frankly, another one that I'm going to have to say we don't know fully, but he wants to know about Tony and Andrew's relationship, how that's going, how that came about. Obviously, they're similar goals. They want to take it to the next level. Cool. And from everything we've heard, they're working together. They're working hard.
There's going to be the Ambush Retro Night in a couple weeks, or right. This week, where Tony's even playing in it.
And obviously Andrew's more focused on the Ambush right now. His season's coming to an end.
But he's also got that arena football
thing. He does have that. And that leads us into the next question. What's the front office / organization going to look like for this new team? And the short answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Ambush has
We don't know because Kroenke doesn't talk.
Yeah, yeah. The Ambush has a bigger front office staff because it includes his football team. What is
the dual purpose?
Is it the Impact or the
natural disasters?
Some natural disaster. But they have a season ticket office. They have a marketing department,
communications director.
Yeah, much bigger than the Lions' small scale front office. But
it's also a higher rent.
Well, yeah.
You know, you have to have that to pay the bills.
So the short answer is I'm sure that some of those people are going to be used for the new team. Like, it would make sense that they use the ticketing department and things like that to work on the new team.
But they've always said, too, from the beginning that this was a to become a third entity, that
right.
It's not a...
Right. It's not a Missouri Sports Holding Company. It's not a Glavin
Company. It's a third company.
It is its own entity, and I'm sure they will be hiring new people. I'm sure they will take some people from each group. I mean, Tim wanted to know specifically if some of our friends who work with Glavin will move over. I guess the answer is maybe. We don't know for sure. And until, like we said, until we get further along in the process, until there's an official announcement, we won't know. But
I think they'll hire us to have a podcast.
God, I hope they hire me because I hate my job. And I've been, you know, donating my time here for 4 years. I'd like to get something out of it, you know.
Your time's not worth that much.
I would like a pair of socks. I would like an old scarf, headband.
I want a night in a luxury box where I don't get thrown out.
A night. My friend Matt deserves a night in the luxury suite.
He's willing to pay for the beer. He just wants to stay in the suite.
Right. He just wants it brought to him in the fashion he's become accustomed.
He is a man of means.
So again, Tim, it's one of those questions that once there is an official announcement, then we can ask these questions to the appropriate people. But as of right now, we're not sure who's going to work for who.
Unless we win the lottery.
Unless we win the lottery, and then everybody's working for me. Or Mitch.
Or I'd prefer me.
Mitch. Probably Mitch. I'd be
probably better for both of us.
That's for the best. So that's
real quick, yeah. And you've not touched on it. This Gateway Goonie thing.
Mm.
What's the deal with these kids?
This is a group of very young men who go out to ambush games, high school guys,
mm-hmm.
And they're interested in taking it to the next level. They are excited about outdoor soccer. They want to come to some Lions games. I think they live out there, uh-huh. Sort of in the St. Charles area. I know they're regulars at Ambush, and just a younger group. So okay. Maybe if you're a high school fan that doesn't feel comfortable hanging out with 40-year-old men like us, then maybe you'd be more comfortable hanging out with the Gateway Goonies. So we hope to meet them in person, but we've made contact on Facebook and going to work together on things and hope to see them in person out at Lions games.
Can't go to exit 6, though, guys, because that's 21 and over.
Exactly. So maybe they can have a car wash out in the parking lot or sell cookies.
Go to Chick-fil-A for us.
Yeah, I'm teasing, guys. they could run and get us food. That would be awesome.
I know.
So, well, there you go. Another partnership born. a younger group. I talked about them just joining us, and they said, no, you know, they kind of want to do their own thing, and that's awesome. And
it's numbers. It's mm-hmm. a numbers game. We have to, the more the merrier.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't have to be a Luligan, but we can all be
cooperative.
And yeah, and the Luligans, for people that don't know who are just tuning in, started out as 7 different groups. When AC St. Louis went away, a lot of the people fell off, and the runs that were left kind of joined together and became the Luligans. But
The
mighty Luligans. But I fully expect if the USL Pro team comes around, there will be new people, and maybe mm-hmm. they'll want to have their own groups. But we can all be in a supporters section together, and we can all kind of work together, even if we're separate. So,
or even across the stadium and chanting back and forth.
Yeah, no, we'll work something out. So
it'd be fun.
Yeah. But as long as you guys remember we were there first. We get dibs on parking spots.
And closets for our equipment.
Yes, closets for the drums.
We came first. 40-year-old men always do.
There's a banner.
Yeah. And there's another inside joke born that we were discussing earlier.
I think we'll find no better note to end it on than that.
We'll finish quickly then.
St. Luligans, we come first.
Yeah. We had our fun.
Oh my God, I got to write this down.
I know.
Okay.
If only we were recording this.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if we could listen to this later.
I know. That'd be good thinking. So a lot going on, but nothing going on at the same time.
Yeah, we're in a wait and see pattern, basically.
We'll catch up with the Bordeaux and the Fire and Ice in the near future here.
Buy your Rams season, or Rams, buy your Lions season tickets.
Now.
Don't buy your Rams season tickets, because Kroenke ain't doing shit for you. Don't give him money.
We're doing shit for you.
Give it to Tony Glavin.
Luligans when you buy those tickets.
That's right. Write it in the spot there. Put your name on it.
Own it. Be a man.
$60, people.
Or a woman.
Chop, chop.
That's right.
I know. It's like 3 trips to Taco Bell.
So there you go. That's what you need to know. You need to come out to Lions games this summer, have some fun with us, and
keep listening.
That's what you do. Yeah, tell a friend.
Tell a family member.
PayPal. Just send us money directly. buy a shirt when they're available. That'll be up soon. And I don't know. Anything else to plug, gentlemen?
Next month in March, there's a... I was about to say there's a U.S. friendly against Ukraine, but it might be off, so who knows?
No, that's true.
There may not be a Ukraine.
but there is a friendly. Help me out here. What is the Kansas City women's team's name? FC Kansas City, or I don't know. The Kansas City women's pro team is playing against the Chicago Red Stars, the Chicago women's pro team out at Soccer Park. Speaking of Soccer Park and Scott Gallagher. They're always involved in soccer, and they're bringing a friendly to Soccer Park. I think that's March 22nd, if I'm not mistaken. Mitch is frantically typing into the Google machine.
FC Kansas City?
Yes. So if you want to see top-notch women's pro soccer, that's the highest level in the United States. There's a preseason game here.
It's the highest level in the world at that point.
Well, let's be honest. Pretty much. The Kansas City versus...
Chicago Red Stars.
Yeah, I said it. I got it.
I'm going to finish it off for you.
Oh.
Fine, you figure out.
Mitch is going to finish it off for us, so let's get away from the...
It's a race.
No.
We finish first.
But no, I know Laclede's Army is very excited about that. I know Lindsay Kennedy and Eversmeyer and Erica are both excited about coming out and taking some of the Britneys out there to watch that. Actually worried that they're going to come and poach a few of the Britneys because there's some hot quality talent on the Britneys.
I'm glad you started with quality talent there. I was
No. I wasn't referring physically. No, those girls are too young.
Oh, now you're saying they're ugly?
No, not at all.
What's wrong with you?
No, but they are a good team. Let's not kid ourselves.
No, they're
very nice.
They're a very good team.
And some of those girls will move up to the top level, I'm sure. In fact, Brittany Tejada is expected to be taken very high in the draft. I don't know if the draft's already happened or it's coming up. I don't know. But that's another friendly you can come out to. I don't know if we'll go because we have a tendency to get kicked out of Soccer Park. But maybe we'll try to sneak in and not tell anybody.
We could just watch from the river or something like that. Yeah.
In the 38th minute, everybody take off your shirt and scream hooligans.
We'll be wearing funny noses and glasses.
Like the big group of 40-year-old men all trying to hooligans.
Yeah. So anyway, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we will update you on everything you need to know as far as soccer in St. Louis.
And even things you don't need to know.
Yeah, a lot of stuff you don't need to know. And if you're looking for a date with Rocco...
Get on Tinder.
Look for the guy in the helmet cam hat. I don't know.
Strange breed, man.
He is something.
Fucking English people. I tell you. All right. I think we're good.
That's all I got.
All right. Yeah. Brad, bye. Matt, Mitch. Let's talk to you later.
Bye.
Yum, yum. Oh, I told me to be cheeky.